I think we are not going to introduce our family we wanted to donate more after the briefing, the second briefing, and on submissions. Because we thought even if it's a section 75, we must do the public hearing in terms of the media and submissions to the committee. If there's a need, if we are with, because we never read this, we only got them this morning, so we need your assistance so that we can go through this bill. Our intention is to finalize it today, but if there are some other things we need, we will hear from the members of the Honorable Members. Thank you, Professor Green, for the
chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, so that we can complete this thing, I will be brief. And I think Mr. Ramatara, our head of legal services, will go through the legal debates. There's just one issue that I want to raise, and the question that has come up the last time was, why was the department putting an agent at 12 and not 13? And I think I'll clear that, and then we can then move forward. I think the reasons for that is that the department takes the age at 12 because the younger the child, the more formative are the organs, and the more vulnerable they are if they are exposed to tobacco. So the young child's lungs in particular are more likely to damage, to severe damage, the younger the child is. And it's for that reason that the age of 12 was put down. But I think that the department is comfortable with being consistent and having the age as 18. Because if you look at the other side, where you are saying that a person of age under 18 should not be in a smoking area, the reason for that is that a child under the age of 18 is unable or should not legally be able to purchase cigarettes. Now, if this person is then in a smoking area where cigarettes are being sold, there could be a conflict thereby. So I think in summation, to answer the question about the age, the department supports the NCOP submission of putting the age at 18, because it will address the issues that the department has with regards to the child. But the explanation of putting the age at 12 is that the younger the child, the greater the damage to the organs in terms of their formation. And secondly, the more vulnerable the child, because the child is unable, if it's in a car with the parent smoking, if it's under 12, it can't say, "Mommy, I'll walk to school." But if a child is between the age of, say, 14, 16, 18, it is possible for that to happen. But I think that the department will be comfortable with being consistent and take the age at 18, because it will address all the concerns that the department has, and it will also take into account the consistency in the legislation, and it will also take into account the issues that were raised by NCOP at the last meeting. But I think that the other details can be taken as one goes through, and I'll hand over to Mr. Ramazala to take us through the legal aspect. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Professor, because we also concerned as a committee about the 12, 18, 16, and so forth. But I'll get it from members after Mr.
Ramasala
is taking us
first.
Over to you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. What we'll do is we'll ask Mr. Benetesia to give some background information on the solutions of the bill. And then thereafter, I will take the members through a bit cross by cross, if that's fine.
I thought they would actually take us through the submissions one by one.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. It's not that. If we could just get the submission sent, just like the shepherd had said initially, you know, and the response to all the submissions. We need to know, for instance, what the response of the Department of Health is, what the submission by Fred Morris, Dr. Philip Morris, by Eagle Fair, blah, 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 all of that. You see, then we can take it from there, then we can put it cross by cross.
Or maybe just let me check, because the department only got a submission yesterday. Is it true? In the morning. This morning.
No,
let me finish that. Because the NCOP last week went for provincial week, and our secretary was deployed in Gauteng to work with permanent delegates for Gauteng. So she only came yesterday to work, where he compiled this 11 submissions and also sent them to the department yesterday. So I just want to check if you managed to go through the submissions.
Apparently some of my colleagues managed to get them yesterday, and they have gone through them yesterday, but I only got them this morning. As it was looking to implement, so I'm not being able to respond to the submissions one by one. To the extent the submissions raised some of the legal issues that were raised in the particular committee, yes, I should be able to deal with those issues. But I cannot confirm that I have read the submission and would therefore be in a position to deal with them one by one.
Honorable
member. Chair, I think as we indicated earlier on that our intention was to try to, you know, get over this piece of legislation in front of us today. But we will be willing to actually want to complete this thing and not gone through. There might be very substantial issues that are raised here, and we can't just overlook them. And if the department cannot respond to them, it will therefore be very difficult for us to finalize this deal. Then my proposal would be, we will have to have another session where the department, you know, responds to all these submissions one by one, so that we satisfy ourselves, you see, whether we really want to take them on board, or we want to take them on board, what is the view of the department on them, and all those sorts of things, before we can actually do anything. Before we can actually finalize. Whatever we're doing today, fine, we can do it. But we should bear in mind that we cannot finalize if we have not gone through the submissions, each one by one. You know, because it should be an exercise in futility. Because if we finalize this thing, have not gone through this, and we have told people to make submissions, we will be taken to court again. As parliament, you know? So say we have made submissions, but we have not even considered our submissions and you found the thing. So I think we really have to cover ourselves up at it. There might also be some very substantial things that we might also want to take on board in the submissions. And chair, therefore, we can go on as proposed, but we can't finalize the thing. We really have to have a session where we go through the submissions, each one by one by one. That's my view.
I agree with a proposal from Member Tom. But I look at the time and say, but can't we maybe take something like 30 minutes to go over the submissions? And I'm sure whether we read silently or read aloud, we'll be able to pick up some of the things that might have emanated from the submissions. So that then if the department has to respond, it has noted, I am sure Mr. Ramasala is not alone. There's four or five of them, even the state law advisor here. So as we go through the submissions, then we'll be able to pick up some of the things. And if there are not large proposals or changes to the proposed legislation, it's something that we can dispense of today. But if there are proposals that require changing here and there, it's something that we can note to be rescheduled for another meeting. So my proposal was to be, instead of continuing doing what, let's go over the submissions, maybe give them 30 minutes and then what's noting all of those things. Mono.
Thank you, Honorable. Any seconder to that? Mono. Honorable Madala.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not seconding. But my understanding is that some of the submissions were made at the NA, and the department is quite vested to those. Can't they brief us on those submissions which were made to the NA committee, portfolio committee?
Any other member?
Honorable Chair, we are going to ask that maybe we be given a few minutes to discuss this amongst ourselves. If some of my colleagues have received the submission earlier and they've gone through them and can make sense out of them quickly, maybe we will be in a position to assist the committee as it's requested. They will think of about 10, 15 minutes break that we can use as a department to agree amongst ourselves. And I think that is in line with what is also proposed by the honorable member there, that if we're given a few minutes, we can try to
track.
Okay, colleagues, let us agree to take 15 minutes break. Thank you. Over to you, department to go.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a room. I don't know if I can assist you if I give them a room. Martina Nassi, welcome. We couldn't call Coram, and if you are here, we are happy now.
Thank you, ma'am.
And let me apologize for our stakeholders and those for the inconvenience.
Yeah, thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I'm a bit uncomfortable because it's for the first time that I see these submissions, and I'm sure it's for the first time that the department sees these submissions. I think it's a bit unfair for us to expect the department to make comments on it right now. I don't think that's the proper way how to deal with issues. I would therefore like to make a proposal that the department can make a better than study about these submissions and come with a 2 or 3 page written document that was in our next meeting. And I would like to propose that else we are here now in this meeting. Maybe whoever is here who makes submissions can just take us through the submissions for now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Member Madison.
Yes, Chairperson, then I was going to speak on proposal, which if they identify common issues, then they can speak on those common issues so that then it leaves out those that have got something that is not common to others. And then those are the ones that they can talk to them. Input by input. That was going to be my proposal.
But I think the companies just submitted individuals. If you don't have their submissions, it can be recorded somehow as if we didn't consider them. So I want each and every submission be recorded. I think that it can be. The proposal of Honorable Suleiman is understood, but I think you came late, but also say let's give the department time to give us a resubmission. An addition will be done by the stakeholder, and indeed I don't think we'll finalize it today. But looking at our program, it's also tight. It means we have to call the department sometimes in the evening or follow up in Eastern Cape, because next week the NCOP is going to Northern Cape and Limpopo on the report back. And the week of the 5th, I don't know, it means I have to negotiate with the Chairperson of Education. That's the only day on Wednesday. That maybe if you agree, we can have that. Failing which, it means on the 10th and 14th September, the Commission will do an oversight in Eastern Cape for 2 weeks, from the 10th to the 17th to the 19th. So we have to call the department maybe there. Nevertheless, Mr. Ramasia talked to us. Ramasal, I'm sorry for the new surname.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We have divided our input. I would like to deal with the issues that our political data and our colleagues will deal with those that relate to policy issues. The document that I have are not set up. The documents I have are not necessarily numbered in the order that the others are numbered. I will deal with Philip Morris. I will also deal with the National Council Against Smoking. I will also deal with the TISA submission, and then submission H. I forgot who the author is. And then my colleagues will deal with others. Eagles Fair, Swedish Match, and G, and those that are outstanding. From what we have seen, Philip Morris is currently raising two issues. The first one being the definition of ingredient, and the second one being the definition of tobacco product. Now, with regard to the definition of ingredient, you will notice, I think it appears on page 2 of the submission, where they are suggesting that other residues, in particular agricultural residues, substances, and packaging materials, that this should be regulated but separately, not from the definition. We take the view that because all of these constitute, because at the end of the day, in the department's view, those constitute ingredients, and then we don't agree with that kind of approach. That is the first, that is the rating. Now, the second issue with regard to the definition of tropical product, they, I think they are making common cause with the department. They said the view that the definition should be as it is. There is no personal difference, therefore you don't have to address anything classified. Now the National Council Against Smoking submission raises notably three issues amongst others which are basically highlighting what they are responsible for. But there are three issues where we have picked up, they are making specific proposals. The first one is in relation to the distance from dogs and people can smoke. Whereas in the bill, we are saying that to be prescribed by the minister, they have proposed a 3 meter ten meters in some instance. We still hold the view as the department that we would prefer this to be left to the regulation. But if the committee, in its wisdom, deems it fit that we should have these meters determined in the act, as opposed to the prerogative, but you would like, as usual, we leave it to the prerogative, that is in the bill. The second point I'm making is in relation to smoking in vehicles. They seem to be suggesting that there should be a total ban in smoking in vehicles where there are people below the age of 18. The department, as we have said, I think on many occasions we are still of the view that drugs is a reasonable cut of price, but if the committee wants to move that to 18, that's fine. We have a problem with that.
What you are saying contradicts what the professor said earlier.
Can you switch on your...
I'm saying what he's saying now.
What
he's saying now contradicts what the professor said earlier. So, which is which? Has the real Department of Health set up and say what it was to say?
Maybe I should have talked to if I said anything that's different from what he said. I didn't get the sense that...
The prof says that the department is persuaded by our argument for the sake of consistency. That 18 B is the cutoff age. You are saying here that you speak to yourself as a department.
No. We don't speak to anything. We can't speak to anything. We can only recommend to Parliament. If the professor, I think, started by explaining, I mean, when he spoke about the formative years, but explaining the basis for the 12-year cut-off point. But instead, it's understood that if the committee is back with 18, we don't have any strong objection to that. That's what I made in my conclusion. So which we still remain. We don't have any objection if the committee thinks it's fit to move it to 18 years.
Honourable Chair, I don't think that what I said and what Mr. Ramaphosa is saying is different. What we are saying in the department is that we have indicated an age for early on, and I explained why. But we said that with the previous discussions in COP, the department accepts the age cutoff of 18 and stand by that. So we have no conflict in what the 12 of us are saying.
The only emphasis is on the health of a developing child from 0 to 16.
I hear what you're saying. But you know, in the professor's argument, you are also saying, among other things, that there's a need for some consistency. Because you were actually, I call you in fact, because somewhere I think in the law, you are saying that no child below the age of 54 or 18 can be in a forbidden area where smoking takes place. Somewhere I think. A child below, below the age of, I'm sorry, gentlemen. Control of smoking of tobacco products, I think that is under 6, right? Yeah, 6. The owner of or a person in control of a place or an area contemplated in subsection 1A or blah 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 shall ensure that no person under the age of 18 years is present in any portion of the workplace where smoking is permitted or in an area within the public place. I thought you were saying that there's a need to synchronize the two areas. Unless you are saying no, there's no need to synchronize.
I think that let me try to explain myself and what Mr. Ramaphosa said is that we noted the discussion the last time with the NCOP, and our submission is that let's go for consistency purposes to the age of 18, because then it will address the issues across the board, and we're comfortable with that. So the age of 18, but it will not take away or detract anything that the department was wanting to do, and to also be consistent with the rest of the bill and other legislation with regards to the age of 18.
Thank you. If I can go back,
to say what is the position of the department? Does it want us to synchronize or not?
The department wants you to go.
Honorable Chetan Mazibuko
Matari. Chairperson, I don't think there is a point for us now as a committee to argue for or against the age. From a medical point of view, as explained by the Prof, I understand it to say there's nothing wrong to determine an age like 12 in line with the Dr. Tobacco legislation, which is different from your TOP, which is different from your voting age. So you cannot talk about 18 to be consistent in context of what? Now, we're saying the context of the harm that tobacco can cause to a child or to a person. Age 12, in terms of your developmental dynamics of a child, there's a stage, they call it, what do you call it, the doctor for children? They call it the pediatric stage. I mean, you cannot, the pediatric stage is not changing. Doctors that are qualified, they say, at that age, that pediatric stage normally ends around that time, 12, 13, 14. So the department saw it fit to really come up with, say, well, let's use 12. They could have used 11. They could have used 18. But I don't think it's relevant for us to say the age must be consistent. But every age is determined in terms of what we're actually dealing with. So if you're dealing with 14, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So it's not for us now to whether change the department and say, what is your recommendation? I mean, the issues are placed on the table for us. And I think based on the information provided to us, then we'll actually make a decision whether we go to 12 or 15. We debate unnecessarily. Yeah. But I think the department and the professor have made their position, and we're well aware, and we are able to form a decision based on the information provided.
Thank you.
What I understood the department is saying is that we must make recommendations on the issue of consistency. We about Ibona, that's what is their recommendation.
Thank you. If I may ask, the question of 12 and other is in the NA. Did they touch on it? No, I just want to check because whether they consider the developing child. Anyway, let's go on. I'm closing the age issue. Members will decide when they finalize the bill.
That was the second point that was raised by the National Council Against Gambling. The last point that they raised is in relation to smoking in private venue. They seem to be suggesting that smoking should be banned in private dwellings. You will note from our bill that we don't support that total ban, because we have to strike a balance between the rights of the public and the right of persons to enjoy their right to property. To the extent that we made some regulations in relation to private dwellings that are used for daycare purposes and other purposes, we think that is the solution that can be justified, and we don't think that it should assist in effecting a total ban on smoking private dwellings. That is the last point that we picked up from the National Council Against Smoking. Now, if you can go to the TISA submission, that are raising a number of... like I said earlier, my target is not... It's a yes. TISA, okay, acknowledges in the first instance that a number of submissions they've made were accommodated in the Apollo Committee discussion. Okay, the first point I raised, and I think this is the point that was raised in the discussion we had with the committee, where, you know, the question was asked as to why do we deem it fit to impose our standards here to foreign countries. And we explained that the basis for that is to prevent some kind of dumping. If a product is manufactured here and it's not fit for consumption here, I mean, why should we allow it to be dumped in other countries? We saw that the Department of Health was a very responsibility, not only to for the health of the country, but any other individual in the world is there. And we also explained at the time that we also have similar provisions with regard to the control of medicine, that in South Africa, if you're going to be manufacturing medicine for export, those medicines must meet our standards here. Because we don't believe that you can manufacture something here which is not good for the South African. And I also stated at the time that I'm aware, we are aware of other countries in the world where they allow manufacture of products in that country and then export them, even if they do not meet their country's standards. And we are saying that we as a health in South Africa, we take the view that whatever is going to be exported should meet the requirements of the country. And that is the first point that they raised that we are going to pick up. Now, the second point that I'm making is that with regard to the particularly with regard to snus, they are advancing the argument that the reason why there was agreement with regard to the particular grade in the portfolio committee was because of the harm reduction properties of snus. You see, this is the point I'm making, but this is not the point that we agreed to the extension in the first instance. The reason why, as a department, we agreed to the extension of that particular exemption was to make room for instances where in future there is some development of products, tobacco products that could be used for medicinal purposes. It was all of those things that as a department that we agreed. That exemption. It was not because we acknowledge that certain tobacco products have harm reduction properties. And this is the point I'm making. So, to that extent, different we see for it. And we still maintain that that it's only in instances where there is potential for those products to have a medicinal effect that is beneficial for the creatures themselves. Not because they contain harm reduction properties. Honorable Chair, I think that basically the teacher's admission has actually been able to gather what the issues are. The last one that I'm going to be dealing with, and then I'll be giving to my colleagues, I think is H. And what we have called H, I think, is the object, is the Fred Harper. Basically, we get a sense that they support the bill as it is. The issues that they are raising with regard to vending machines, those are issues that are going to be dealt with in the other bill. And then basically we deal with that when we get to that point. So my colleagues will deal with the other submissions and maybe pick up on the other issues that can be addressed that require maybe more substantiation.
Thank you very much.
May you switch off your mic? The next presenter. Professor, can you lead us on delegating the those who are speaking?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You have already ruled on the issue of aging, and it does come in the one submission that Mr. Magala has raised, so I'm not going to go back to that. The TISA does ask that the age should be 18 and not younger. With regards to some of the policy issues, I will ask Mr. Bennett to come in, and then I'll come in at the, after him.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I will deal with B and I because they deal with the same issue. So I'll deal with those two first, followed by G and K. Submission B is from Ego Fair. It's just a single page. Whereby the concern is raised in terms of the effects of having designated smoking areas within the restaurants, etc., and therefore will have a negative effect on their profit and turnover. And I deal with ban on all smoking in now tongue-in-cheek, it says public places and not public places. just to allude to that it then changes the nature of the submission. Chair, nevertheless, the B and I, therefore, we note as the department these two submissions in the regard to requesting that the smoking must be banned on the one hand, and on the other hand, the negative effect on business and turnover. We noted that we cannot support these two submissions within this context because it's the very nature of the legislation to provide for that kind of flexibility. And also on submission B, just to substantiate that particular point further, in 2003, the department conducted a survey in three provinces exactly on this issue to determine the effect of having the economic effect of reducing smoking in these places, and the results came out that 90% of the restaurant owners and these kinds of places indicated that it did not have an effect even at that time. So we then of the view that this is not substantiated in terms of this request.
Thank you.
The other two submissions, G and K, submission G is from Jerry Hill, and on the second page, the last paragraph E, it refers to the size of the advertisement or the display board, where it is 15 by 10 centimeters, and it's basically requesting that these signs be made bigger, to be more visible, etc. So we therefore support that. In terms of K, which is from JT International, the entire submission...
I noticed even in G from Mr. Derek here, he speaks about minors who are being allowed into areas that have got vending machines. I don't know whether the department picked that up, because it specifically is proposing that vending machines should be removed. Almost, it says in my opinion that such vending should be permitted only in designated areas, and that are still. So I don't know whether the department picked that up or somebody is going to speak on it.
I thought we'll give the department an opportunity and members will come thereafter. Because even vending machine, I think it's for the economic development, it's not just for the health department. I'll give the members opportunity to report. May you proceed.
Thank you, Chair. So, on submission K, which is JT International, a large part of the submission, the general thread throughout, deals with divulging trade secrets and making information available which might compromise their position in terms of production, manufacturing, etc. During, you will see on page 4 and 5 in particular, these issues are raised, whereby the concern is raised that the information requested to be submitted to the minister might create a compromised position for those manufacturers. My recollection during the National Assembly hearings was that it was accepted that the information that will be requested by the minister in the form of regulations will be specified. They also raised the other part in terms of information being made available about ingredients, etc., to the public, that also be specified in the regulation, not to have a contradiction in terms whereby information is submitted to the minister and in turn the same kind of information be made available to the public. Otherwise it creates a problem. So therefore, during that process it was then accepted that the regulations will be very specific in terms of information requested by the minister on trade secrets, etc., versus the information that will be made available to the public from a public health point of view and not from a manufacturing and a trade point of view. Those are my... comments on those submissions, Chair, and Prof. G.
Thank you very much, Chair. Prof. G.
Sorry, Chair. Prof. just raised that G deals with the size of the advertisements which I have dealt with, that we support bigger, more visible, more striking, etc. Advertisements. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Before I come in, Mr. Amishala, just to carry out two issues that he needs to deal with from the legal side.
While still on G, the other point I'm raising is with regard to the proposing that the definition of public place be broadened to include private clubs or political associations. If you look at the definition, we are specifically including a class. So, basically, you're taking care of class prevention. So, themselves taken care of. The other proposal I'm making, I think, is to be that's in the regulation. So I suppose if at the point when the department reviews the regulation, since it treats the point I'm making has merit, I'm sure we'll be able to deal with that. Can I also maybe just add on to the point that Mr. Essia made earlier with regard to submission of information, which I think was also raised by Philip Morris or Tita, where they are concerned with the information that could be made available in terms of the British minutes of the public. They are concerned about commercial information, trade secrets and things around that. And we are saying that you will see that somewhere we make the provisions of that particular subject to chapter 2 of the Constitution, which deals with access to information. But if you look at the Promotion of Access to Information Act, where it deals with information held by private bodies, you will see that provision is made for the protection of the information that relates to trade secrets, commercial information, that you will find that in, if I'm not mistaken, in section 36, section 37, section 43 of the Access to Information, Commission of Access to Information Act. So basically we're saying that there is no need for them to worry in terms of trade secrets that are covered in terms of provision of access to information.
Honorable Chair, if I may cover the issue of the smokeless tobacco. It comes in three of the submissions. It comes in A, with Philip Morris, who supports the definition of tobacco and that it should include smokeless tobacco. It comes in submission of R, the submission C, which indicates that smokeless tobacco has a less adverse effect on the environment, and then it comes in Swedish match. I think that Honorable Portfolio Committee, Honorable NCOP Select Committee will remember the considerable discussion around smokeless tobacco and the consequences around it. The position of the department is that the bill should stand as it is. With regards to the definition of tobacco product and with the results of smokeless tobacco, because it is known that smokeless tobacco is not harmless. It might be less harmful, but it's not harmless. It does increase the prevalence of pancreatic cancer, and it may also increase the prevalence of oral cancer, and it's also more addictive than conventional smoke, because the levels of nicotine are much higher in the blood than with conventional cigarettes. So from the position of the department, having read very, very carefully the various submissions, the position is still the same, that the definition of a tobacco should stand as it is, and also that smokeless tobacco should be included there. There is a provision in the bill that does allow the minister to make special regulations, and I think that we would maintain our position with regards to that. Thank you.
Chair, if I can also deal with the British American Tobacco Company, we may not have dealt with that. I'm not sure you're looking for sure.
No, I thought you were happy to deal with it. I wonder if you could tell us about it.
If you know that this is a race, since some of the have been covered by the, I think, teaser for the media, no? But the first one that we have is the issue of snooze. I think that's the issue that I said earlier, where they are maintaining that the reason why it was inserted in the NCOP, you know, in the by the portfolio committee, is because of its less harmful property. That's the point they made there, but that's not the point, that's not the basis for our increasing the food exemption. Like I said earlier, our basis for including it is because we believe that we're trying to leave room for instant to infusion. There are any products that could have medicinal properties that could be helpful to the public. It's not because we accept that that's the first kind of rating, which I think appears on page 4 of the submission. On page 5, okay, they're taking issue with a clause that we have in our regulations act, which concerns on the minister to make regulations on any other matter required the committee to be prescribed in terms of the act, so I think of the office. Now, they're saying this clause is not. They may be right in that respect, but in the department we need those provisions to allow the minister to make provisions, so that the methods that at this point may not be fitted as they require replacement. So it says, I'm sure the state of Africa can confirm that this is the kind of source that we have in many of our bills that provide for sources that allow them to make provisions. The third point they raised, can relate to that issue I made up with regard to exports, that we cannot make our standards here applicable to other countries where they're going to be exporting, and explain why is the department we think it is important to regulate that export as well. I think that's everything on page 5, that is 2.1. The other point I'm raising on the same page, point 2.2, is with regard to the ignition propensity of cigarettes. They are taking it with the department and saying that this is not the an area where the department has expertise. They're saying that they rather leave this to the SABS to deal with. You see, that may be correct, but I don't think there's anything that deprives the department of that authority. If the department in the process of developing those regulations with him in necessary to consult with the certainly do that. I mean, there are many other areas which will regulate the department. I'm sure the committee will be aware that we have about 30 acts that have been in the department. Now, there are certain areas in those different acts that require expertise from other areas or from other entities. And it is in those instances that we consult with them in our regulatory efforts. The last point that they raised on page 6 is paragraph 2.3, that starts on page 5. It's the issue that I made earlier. In fact, this after the professor has spoken, in relation to provision of information, just saying that the provisions of the clause seek to compel people manufacturers to disclose confidential and competitively sensitive information, not only to the minister but also to the public at large. Now, like I just explained, the Promotion of Access to Information Act categorically protects that sensitive information in the sections that I referred to earlier, which is sections 36, 37, 38, and 43. The same question about information, 36, and the question about commission information. So basically, we are saying that there is no. The fears are addressed in the particular act. So,
Clarification. It was reported that the council supported the ban of smoking in all private homes. That's not true. What we did say is that the bill bans smoking in workplaces. Private homes are a workplace for domestic...
Can you use that chair?
Yeah, sure. Private homes are a workplace for domestic workers. And we therefore say that when a private home employs a domestic worker, domestic workers should also be protected from exposure to tobacco smoke. And therefore, we were saying that the ban on smoking in the workplace should extend to the private home when the private home is used as a workplace to protect domestic workers from exposure to poisons which are harmful to the health. That's just the one clarification.
It's included in your question.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Just a point of clarification on our submission regarding the definition of ingredient. When it comes to our submission, what we are trying to say is that when regulations are promulgated relating to the disclosure of ingredients, Philip Morris has no problem in actually submitting that information to the Department of Health. We've actually voluntarily done that in 2006. But the point we would like to make is that there should be some distinction made between ingredients included in tobacco products over which we have control and those that are migrants to the product. So, for example, when you're dealing with pesticides, we don't grow our own tobacco, so we have no control over the migration of pesticides into our product. And also when it comes to packaging material, we have no control over what's contained in the packaging material migrating into our product. So what we would recommend is that when regulations come, that a separate set of regulations be created to deal with these crop protection agents or pesticides and also packaging migrants. And we would just like to draw the Department of Health's attention to the EU directive dealing with pharmaceutical products in this regard for some guidance. But as it stands, we are happy to make disclosures to the Department of Health as to the ingredients contained in our products. So we're not opposed to the actual provision. And then secondly, when it comes to the definition of tobacco product, as Mr. Ramasala stated earlier, we are of the same view as the Department of Health, that when it comes to tobacco products, all tobacco products should be contained in the definition of the bill, in the definition of tobacco product as it is in the bill.
Can you introduce yourself before you give us an input?
Perhaps I should do that. Nitesh Ramji from Philip Morris, South Africa.
The last one, VAT. And please introduce yourself. I forgot to ask yourself. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Jerry Gilbert from British American Tobacco. I must say that we are totally unprepared for making any oral submissions today. We weren't aware that that might happen. Nevertheless, I'd just like to just go over the three points that were brought up in our submission. And the primary one relates to the smokeless tobacco product snus. And I must just mention that we have an issue with what Mr. Ramasala said in connection with the medicinal product being introduced. That was never any discussion point at the portfolio committee hearings. The clause around exemption always referred to a tobacco product such as snus, and that's why we're requesting that snus actually gets put into that exemption clause, so that we all know what it is that we're talking about, and there is no confusion as has obviously arisen. The second point relates to the export standards for tobacco products, and it's really a caution that we place there. There's no real major issue we have against this, but there are some countries that have instituted laws that control their tobacco products, and I'll give you an example of, we talk about this low ignition propensity tobacco paper for cigarettes. Certain countries have decided not to implement that law. Now, if that was a law in South Africa, that would mean that we are imposing a law on another country who have decided not to implement that. Similarly, there is another tobacco company that I know of in South Africa, not related to our company, that exports products solely to the United States of America. That company would probably have to close down because of the export standards that we have here. And then thirdly, the last point is the submission of data to the Department of Health. While yes, we are concerned about the secrecy, we accept that the good faith of the Department of Health that will not be made available to any competitive companies. But we do question the value of any marketing expenditure or research data in terms of public health control. I cannot quite make the link as to why the Department of Health would need that data to manage tobacco products. That moment is all I have to say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Member, I need your guidance. Do you want the department to respond to the stakeholders, or can I give members to ask questions and clarify?
I'm not. Number one, it looks like there are a lot of things that people are suggesting that have come into the regulations. So I'm not quite thinking, whether can we agree formally here that the regulations before anything else should actually come to Parliament? So that we satisfy ourselves as members of Parliament that these regulations do take into consideration some of the issues that are being raised here, which we might actually agree with. We've done that in the past where we've asked for regulations to come and we've had that type of legislation. I don't think it's an impossible demand to request that is reached in the department. But another thing that I want to say is that, the department has had only 13 minutes or so to look at all the submissions, and I do not think that it has been, that time was enough to look at each and every detail. I really do not think it's that enough. Already, it looks like there was some disagreement with, the National Council Against Tobacco, in terms of what they said and what is contained in here. It looks like there was some omission that the department had actually had. So I'm not saying that, therefore, that maybe we need to, once again, while we appreciate what they did in terms of responses and the like, but once again, maybe let take level. Give us the responses once again in a written form, in our next meeting. Because we can't comprehend, remember each one of them now when you consider this clause as a committee. So when they come back and attend it, in a similar form to say, Philip Morris, this is their submission, just briefly, this is their submission, and this is our response. This one, Eagle Spare, this is their submission. This is our response. It is impossible for us to have that type of a situation with Jefferson in our legislation because we really don't want to leave any stone. That's my little fear.
Thank you.
thank you, Honorable Member. I think you are in order. Having also the committee to have chance to go through and also to give you document the submission to our research unit of the SOP so that we could deal with all the corners of the community. Honorable Member, Honorable Teacher.
Chairperson, I'm not sure if we're allowed to ask questions. If that is the case, one would do that.
Yeah, I think I should continue because I thought when I was asking whether we give them to respond members later, but I just thought I'd just come up with some questions. We may continue asking questions.
Like, they will respond. I'm not sure whether it should be the department or all the stakeholders to respond to this question. I want to check that whether this amendment, for the first, let me make this fact correct to say, you know, tobacco or the nicotine in tobacco, I think it's a legalized drug. I think everybody that is here will agree with me to say it's a drug that is legalized, the thing that it needs to be controlled in a way. That is actually here. It is not a banned drug. It's a legalized drug, but used in certain quantities and in certain environments. But what I want to check is that the legislation as you're talking about now, is it mainly, I'm not sure whether you are also able to split it in percentage, whether we're doing this amendment to protect the individuals that are not smoking, that is the non-smokers, or is it also extended to the smoke users? But in the main, where this regulation, where are we targeting them? Because, so that, you see, the reason why I'm asking this is because you see there's the issue of public places. There is submission here about your sporting grounds where the spectators are watching rugby, football, cricket. That particular environment where also I saw a submission trying to deal with that element as well. But I'm also talking about as the doctor has indicated, a private home where you got your helper, that becomes a workplace. But a private home where it's only me and others, or me in my house, it's my house. There's no a worker there, maybe I'm there as a visitor. Anyway, I'm just trying to check that to say, is the legislation trying to protect the non-smokers, or do both? And if it's for both, what percentage are we able to work out between the smokers and non-smokers? Because I've seen a cigarette, they say there's two things there when you eat it, there's tar and there's also nicotine. There's also an argument that talks about a snooze that is not necessarily affecting the next person. In other words, I'm the user, I'm the person affected. The person sitting next to me is not affected by the use of the snooze. But the prophet actually said to say, well, the nicotine consumed through the snus is much higher than the nicotine that you take through smoking the cigarette part. Now I'm trying to put this so that now this will try to assist us to an extent to be able to mean particular to have an informed decision once you decide on this particular issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other honorable member? Member Zibuko?
Yeah. There was somewhere in the Chobaba Institute, I think Mr. Ramasola responded to that, to say they had an agreement. I think I did not understand it. So they had an agreement to exempt certain, like for example, the issues of snus, because then, let me not talk on snus. They exempt certain tobacco products because at certain stage you might find there may be medicinal warranties that some medicines actually be included issues of tobacco. If you can unpack that vis-a-vis what the input from ICHISA they are saying, because they say they have struck an agreement with the department. Can you put that somewhere, actually? If they can clarify on that. Then F document. Mr. Ramaswamy, we are in Kaza, but I knew wrong about it. He can come and go up to the room, can you see? Yeah. Yeah, number 12, Chairperson, they say a good example of constructive engagement between ourselves and the portfolio committee is reflected in the proposed, which deals with exemption. The portfolio committee hearings proposed the retention of existing definition of producto so as to exclude snus from the definition. We deal with this issue more fully in page 17, paragraph 17. Below, when it became clear to us that the portfolio committee was unwilling to accommodate our proposal, we suggested as a compromise the inclusion of an exemption provision so as to permit the minister to exempt certain products, tobacco products, in our view, in particular, when they mentioned from the provision of the portfolio committee substantially accommodated this proposal. So I think he also mentioned Mr. Ramaswamy. We were mentioning in the Vazubuti, they had struck an agreement.
Is it portfolio committee?
Whether the portfolio committee, no man, or not on Mr. Panamer or Mr. Lamban. Yeah, we Panamer.
Okay.
Cut, I've been trying to get out. I cut for the food. Because if the definition says tobacco product, it does not matter whether you eat it or you smoke it or you sniff it. It's a tobacco product. So maybe it has got those harmful acts in there.
Thank you. Any other member?
Manvi?
They are so quiet this morning. Thank you, ma'am. Let me give this opportunity to state law's advisor before they could report. Yes, I will.
I think it's on the last issue. The exemption was then introduced and it appears to me that we're taking into consideration is harm reduction properties. Now, I don't know why they want that. The thing that the minister must take into account when she keeps and when she exempts it, if it's in the public interest for a particular tobacco product to be so exempted. Well, that was what was decided and that was introduced. I don't know about any agreement stuff, but there was someone proposed such an amendment and it was accepted.
Thank you, Chair. I will make no comments at this point.
Let me take it back to the department.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the matter of the exemption. I hope I'll be able to explain it better. It is correct that during the deliberation in the portfolio committee, there was a proposal to amend the definition, which was not accepted. then then there was a proposal made in regard to the extension of the exemption. It is called that when the proposal was made, the basis for it, by the person who made the proposal, was stated that of what they deemed to be the land arm or property of the product. I think I've said that here. That's what they said. That's what they still maintain from what I'm hearing. I'm saying the department agreed to that to that insertion, but not on the basis of that basis. We do not agree with them that this thing contains their natural property. The basis for the department's acceptance of the exemption was, like I explained, in instance there are tobacco products that have medicinal benefits. We should allow the minister that kind of exemption. If I can explain it again, they made a proposal on a particular basis. We agree with the proposal, but not on that basis, on our own basis. I think I've tried to explain it. Our view, yes, exactly. Now coming to the with regard to the issue made by the Council Against Smoking, with regard to prohibition of smoking in private dwellings that are used as a, maybe I should start by apologizing if I missed the two sentences for the submission yesterday. But you see, the challenge that we will face in the department is, you see, a private dwelling remains a private dwelling. Now, we believe that we can hold it to a certain extent. Now, if you're going to be banning smoking in private buildings that wood owners employ domestic staff, how far can you go? The other point was made about visitors to that private building. Now, you could extend it to any other person that could find himself as a in those particular private buildings. Now, from a religious point of view, we deem to feel that for cultural purposes, it's not an area that could best be regulated. That's how we left it out. It is a point they're making, but we in terms of how far it can be in terms of regulating it, we differ, and that's why we should not be touching today. Now, with regard to the point made about the ingredients, you see, it is unfortunate that from the manufacturer's point of view, they say there are substances that are beyond our control, pesticides and things that emit from packaging. But from the person side, we're looking at the end product, which is a subject of our regulation at this time. It is a cigarette, a youthful cigarette. But what goes into that entity that could be for regulatory purposes, it doesn't help as much. And I suppose that as a manufacturer, we choose the kind of product they use in the manufacturer. I mean, they can make arrangements with the supplier to say that the kind of product that contains this kind of properties, whatever, that in terms of regulation, they are not allowed. They should make that choice. The same could be done with packaging. If there is some kind of packaging that in our view, contaminates whatever we have trying to regulate, something that they could do with as a manufacturer. But like I said, we are looking at the end product, which is the subject of our business, which is the cigarette. And I suppose we differ in our approach. But that's the view of the department. Okay, proceed. I'm looking for, I think I explained the issue around the exemption, so how it arose. I think that's the question that we're raising. And I also think I explained the issue around export standards. It's a view that we hold, they hold a different view. If the committee believes that we should have standards for South Africa, which will not apply to other countries, the committee is going to adopt that position. If Parliament is going to be saying that we believe that the grants that are good for consumption in South Africa are not good for consumption here, but it will be good for consumption in Lesotho, Mozambique, that's for Parliament to decide. But we are cautioning against that kind of approach. The points about the submission of information, I think it's the same when the press has made earlier. Again, that's the difference. I think they accept that there are measures in place to protect that information. That there is always a thing about commission information, that in terms of the other acts that we have, that content are well taken care of. Now, the point made with regard to regulations in general, you see, the question that we don't have any objection. We can send all the regulations that we make to Parliament or to the committee. Maybe that's a point for information that in the Department of Public Affairs area, we administer about 30 acts. And in a week, we have about 2 or 3 sets of regulations that we produce, which means in a month, it's about 12 or 15 sets of regulations that we produce. So I don't know in a year's time how many regulations we will produce. But we are happy if the committee is able to regulate the city members of the government, that we produce, we'll send them to the committee. Or if maybe only send this particular act only, that's fine. If the committee tells us that you want to see all the particular act, we'll send the regulations to the committee. Come and explain them to the committee for the question.
Let me give the opportunity
now. Before you move off regulations, I'm sure that the regulations are published for public comment. So if Mr. Ramaphosa says they deal with many, he won't cope. Bona don't do me. That's what he's suggesting. Then I won't cope. Because Bona, they are producing many regulations time and again. So it's not for him to decide for us what is an attention. But bottom line is that regulations, I am sure they are published in the government gazette for public consumption or for comment. That is those that have been sent there, we have noted what it is that you are interested in. Then we definitely sure we manage to do a comment. So he's out of order.
Members will assist the department on the press. We apologize to the House. I'm saying,
No, I said we're not noted, Mr. KJ, you're out of order. Let's control the meeting.
And say on those regulations, Mr. Ramaphosa, the committee will also assist if they're relevant or not, or they need some more additions to assist the department. Not to say we are not doing a good work, but maybe like now on this one, the same says that we must send to us the regulation to us before finalizing the department. I'm sure it's what I'm understanding from the members concerned. Then you can render your opposition.
I apologize.
That's what we want.
itself, and also it's correct that we publish our regulations for common set the rule for 3 months before we make the transition.
So members of
the government
also have
a certain set of comments. Certainly, yes. Yeah. I think I've covered, if there are other issues that we have not covered.
I don't know if there's any
rules
from the department you want to say that.
Professor, are you?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think that to answer the Honorable Member, the question about the emphasis of the bill, I'll ask Mr. Bennett just to explain what this bill plans to do and what the next bill that comes plans to do, and then I'll then wrap up from the department itself.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'm just going to give you some statistics very quickly. The department conducts what we refer to as the South African Demographic Health Survey. It looks at various health, social, economic issues, including, for example, the prevalence of smoking amongst males, females, the youth, etc. So in 1999, it was found that 45% of men were smoking, 11% of women. 2003, the same study was repeated, and the 45% in men came down to 31% for men, and women 11% came down to, in 99, to 8%. There was also a reduction amongst youth since 99 of 4%. So, having said that, the object of the bill is twofold. It's number one, to reduce and further prevent those who are smoking, to reduce that incidence. Secondly, it protects those who are not smoking from the harmful effects of smoking. So in terms of who are we targeting, it is difficult to say men, women, children. We're targeting everybody. It is like all health legislation. The very person who is smoking lands up in hospital because of the result of smoking. We can't say in the health legislation, because you were smoking, we can't treat you. But at the same time, we introduce those kinds of health promotion measures also for those who are non-smoking to make sure that they maintain their health status. So it's not an either-or, it is targeting both groupings, if I can call it that, in terms of smokers versus non-smokers. So the 75 bill, as through the Honorable Chairperson and members know, that it deals with those healthy lifestyle, health promotion kinds of issues. The 76 bill deals with what we refer to as trade, import, export, the issue about vending machines that the Honorable Member raised, etc. Those are then those specific
trade issues, selling, buying, selling to children, and those kind of things. So those are dealt with in the 76 book. So the split between 75 and 76 is quite clear. That 75 then deals with how can we promote health status and prevent people from becoming worse if they were smoking, and those who are non-smoking, to deter and or prevent them from smoking, versus those trade-related issues that the 76 people will be dealing with. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Before Professor Honorable Tom wants to say something, but you say you only next to me.
It looks like the department believes that snus has got maybe as bad an effect to a person's life as the ordinary smoking. They don't seem not to be convinced by the fact that it is actually having some reduced effect in terms of nicotine. I think the professor said you actually getting taking that helps by not smoking or the person's. And we, you know, there was this, I don't know, maybe we'll not be able to transition. But what were you saying then that, you know, when cigarettes, once you smoke, I mean, nicotine as is, it may not be that dangerous. But once you light a cigarette, then you are unleashing many, many other gases that are actually the ones that are more dangerous to one's life than just this nicotine. I just want to hear what the department says, I mean, about that. Because when this whole question, when you light a cigarette, it's more than nicotine. It's not just nicotine, but it's more than nicotine. You are actually triggering a chemical reaction that actually more dangerous than just the nicotine that it gets in through snus and the like. What's your view on that?
Remember Master Bukan Chechen half a second each. Chebasun in a half a second. A lot of you are witness the problem on the issue of privacy. Because we find the kids, there are children in houses. There's no house without a child. So as much as you say you want to ban smoking or whatever, it's not that you want to interfere with people's lives. And people are inconsiderate. They will light a cigarette even if there's a baby in the house, in front of a child. So if we are able to say in other legislation that we are planning certain things to happen in front of children, why can't we also be consistent even in the tobacco legislation to say, I mean, for example, we're talking about issue of corporal punishment, which we say even at home, it cannot happen. So what is wrong in us also saying, where there are children below the ages of 12 in a private dwelling, people must exercise caution and not smoke in front of children. So like far along with your person. Yes, I am checking. That's why I said I wanted to differ with him on that. Because people are not considered.
Thank you. Maybe you want to protect himself, but we are not talking for individuals here. We are talking about a country. Thank you, Honorable Chechen.
Yeah, Chairperson. Well, it's not a matter of any debate for now. The questions that I'm asking is for my own sake to assist me. There's a, I can't remember where it is, but it's somewhere in the field. Talking about the foreign country, you know, the product that is sent to a foreign country. I'm still, the explanation has been given today and previously. My assumption is that any product produced in South Africa, basically those are those which are produced under the South African Bureau of Standards, will be done under such conditions. That's my assumption, to say that is how you deal in business. I don't think there are other aspects or products that are produced for consumption here and others are produced for my neighbor, Zimbabwe, next to Limpopo. I don't think that is what business does. If that is the case in business, then there's something wrong with the business ethics. No wonder I'm saying that I don't see the reason why we have to emphasize foreign country. I think we have to emphasize our produce here, consumable by South Africans, those companies that are wanting to export or export what we are consuming here. That is why I'm uncomfortable with the wording of the foreign. It's somewhere, flying somewhere. Like I said, I can't remember, but it's somewhere here. But I think Mr. Ramasala actually alluded to that this morning. But I'm also, the prophet alluded to the element of health. I'm not sure the Department of can give us statistics that has been done in a research way to say the cancerous conditions where the prevalence of such conditions between cigarette smoking and if there is no smoking, if you can do that comparative kind of a study, if you do have, I suppose you should. It can be here, it can be outside. But you see, sometimes we speak on things, but are we really being factual on those things, or are we just becoming emotive on those particular elements that are there? So I'm saying, what research has been conducted and what we find, I'm quite comfortable to hear what you have actually given in terms of there's a reduction up to 31% and there's a reduction up to 8% and there's a reduction of 4% in terms of what the youth are actually smoking. So I'm saying to a certain extent for me.
Thank you. I think the last part they can respond in writing for those presentations. But maybe in closure before closing, because the time is up. We still have two business to do as a committee. Just to congratulate the Department of Health and South Africa as a whole for being in public places and the other areas in terms of smoking, because in UK it was only on the 1st of July that they banned tobacco. So I think we are leading as South Africa. But I just want to check a department, snus. You classify it as a tobacco or a food. But I heard it is tobacco, but it was big mind. Then I'm handing over to Professor to wrap up, and we'll close the meeting there.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And I think that, so that I don't forget, can I just thank the honourable members of the Select Committee for the incisive and searching debate. And I think it will really help the people of our country. I think that with regards to the private vote, we debated this extent. The problem with legislation is that no matter how far you go, there may always be cracks where people can enter and obviate it. And I think that the point that one of the honorable members has made about a parent lighting up in the presence of a child at home, it is a problem. Or the husband smoking in the bedroom at night, with the baby in the cot and the wife in the room, both of whom don't smoke and are then exposed to smoke and the deleterious effect on that child. And then the issue of the domestic worker who is exposed and is totally vulnerable, because should she object, then she would be fired.
and the consequences thereof. And I think that this was debated at extent, and the department tried to come up with an even-handed position with regards to the bill, and it's in the bill. I think with regards to snus, yes, we can provide the scientific evidence. And I think there was extensive debate about this. And when there was a public hearing with the portfolio committee, there were those that presented research which indicated how different snus is from smoking tobacco. But there were those presentations that also showed the disastrous and dangerous effects of snus. I think that from the department's point of view, a tobacco product is a tobacco product. Whether you burn it or don't burn it, it's a tobacco product. And I think it's all inclusive as a tobacco product. So there's no vagary from the department's position with regards to that. I think that with regards to snus itself, is that we have maintain the position that it's more addictive than smoking tobacco because it's tobacco and because it's nicotine, that it's got health dangers. Included in this is scientifically proven, statistically significant, that there's prevalence of pancreatic cancer and oral cancer, that cancer of the mouth and tongue and lips is higher than in controlled people. So the dangers are inherent there. I think with regards to the addictive effects of snus, it's far more addictive than smoking tobacco. And the reason for this is the repetitiveness of the use of snus is such that the levels of nicotine in the system are much higher consistently during the waking hours, except for the first time the person is asleep, when they're not regenerating the amount of tobacco in the mouth. And I think that the evidence is there. Honorable Chair, the department can give the scientific evidence on both sides for you to have access to. I think that just means that we need to take out the papers that were presented to the portfolio committee and present them to you. I don't think that that is a problem at all. And that can be done very, very quickly to satisfy you. I think the position was taken that we should ban smoking in all private homes where there are children and also where there are domestic servants working. It's something that I think the select committee needs to debate and NCOP needs to debate, because it's going a little bit further than what the bill has indicated. But I can understand where you're coming from, and it was also our concern. But we were trying to maintain an equitable position and looking at the rights of the individual versus the rights of the other side. But I think the Honourable Emma is absolutely correct, because there have been anecdotal cases quoted, for example, at the airport, where a mother takes her small children into the smoking area and then smokes in the smoking area with the small children that are there. I think those are problems that we have and how to address them. But other than that, I think, Honourable Member, the last point I will make is that it totally agrees. The position of the department is that all tobacco products manufactured in South Africa must conform to the standards of the legislation, whether they will be sold in the country or outside the country. I think the tobacco industry, you've heard what they've said. And I think we've taken the position that it would be irresponsible for the department to say that what is good for us doesn't have to be good for the next person. I think that if we are concerned about the safety and the health hazards of certain tobacco products, then I think we need to be also protective of other countries that we are exporting to. And I think there's a global phenomenon at the moment, which I won't go into details about, and that the credibility of trade is important, is that if you start distinguishing and you are exporting inferior products that are health hazards to the people in the country, the integrity of the country would be adversely looked at. So I think we need to maintain that if tobacco products are produced in South Africa, they must conform the legislation of South Africa, whether or not they're going to be exported or not going to be exported. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Dr. Hoon, I would do anything to say. Thank you. On behalf of the committee, I'm taking this opportunity to the Department of Health, Professor, our stakeholders, and those who are here today, and the presentation you have sent, the submission. We are going to go through this submission as members, and we'll come back. I hope that time will finalize the bill, because really we have to protect ourselves as a community, because the Constitutional Court is looking at us, whether we are doing the right thing. And democracy says people, they must have their own opinion and concern. So I don't want to take for granted that we have dealt with this document. Hence, I've said to go this morning, Professor. But we promise as a committee that before we go on recess end of September, we'll be done with this deal. And those outstanding issues, Mr. Ramasala, I think within 7 days' time we can forward it to the committee. Next week the committee will be here, but I think that other week we can consider them. Thank you very much, everybody. You are invited for lunch at Mark Building. Mark Building is outside. No, that other side. I think the assistant will assist you to take you there. The members of the committee, you have to remain for 2 other businesses to be completed. Thank you very much. Enjoy your lunch. We'll join you later. Thank you all. Okay. You may go direct to lunch because the subject are for sure. Honorable members, we've got 2 items on our agenda. The adoption of the minutes. I hope you read the last minutes. Yes. And then again there's a deal in front of us as a committee, Freedom and Publication Amendment Deal, which was introduced on the 14th of June. But, they're taking slow moves. Can we check the minutes? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Professor, we want to start our meeting. Honorable members, okay. We are supposed to be here for the register. Now we want to start the meeting. People are just on the side.
Sorry, ma'am.
And you left us. We wanted something from you. We're not here.
When was this?
No, I mean the ladies are sitting up. Because we want to start with our meeting, and we are still letting people who are signing in. May you lead them to the restaurant or tell them where restaurant is?